Morning, everyone. I'm Mike Ominami. I'm a project manager with HLN Consulting, and we're developing the RCKMS tool. So I'm going to tie a little bit about, do a deeper dive from what Janet spoke about, and then tie in what Catherine was talking about related to the content, and then show you what that looks like in the tool itself. So I'll go over the components of RCKMS, show what the authoring interface looks like, describe what the decision support service actually does and is, and then how the DSS determines reportability. So this is a recap of what Janet mentioned. So there's two main purposes for the tool, right? One is knowledge management, so allowing jurisdictions to enter in the reporting specifications and the logic. And then two is the decision support, so allowing reporters to run records against those rules and then determine reportability. This is the larger ECR workflow. If you were in the workshop yesterday, they went over this. It starts with the reporter sending the EICR to the current model, which is the AIMS platform, and that actually has a number of services within it. RCKMS actually sits on that platform, and it's consisting of the decision support service as well as the repository. Once the determination is made, then that information is sent to both back to the reporter as well as the public health agency. A little bit of a deeper dive here. So even with the ECR workflow, it actually can't start unless the public health agencies enter in their criteria and their reporting specs into the tool, right? So we start with the public health entering in the reporting criteria into the through the authoring interface, which actually contains and is pre-populated with the default reporting specifications. Again, they can use it as is, or they can customize it to meet their jurisdictional needs. That's stored in the repository, and that gets deployed over to the decision support service, which is essentially the engine that runs all of the rules. So Janet mentioned that this past year, we actually enhanced the interface, partially with the feedback from the PHI workshop attendees. And the goal was really to provide a modern look and feel, to make it easier to use for by people, and also just using a framework that is overall easier to implement all of the implementation enhancements that were requested. This is just a screenshot quickly of the welcome screen. It kind of simplifies that there's three main modules: reporting specifications, test cases, and reports. The main screen with the reporting specifications that are pre-populated, as I mentioned, with currently the five default reporting specifications for these conditions. And this is the main reporting specifications grid, the table that Catherine referred to. It has kind of a similar look and feel as a spreadsheet, as Catherine was showing, where we have the lab reporters, the provider for reporters, the different logic sets through the columns, and then the criteria that are applicable for a particular condition in the first column. So you essentially line up or combine what criteria are actually connected to the particular logic sets. So if we do a deeper dive, because it may be hard to see in the back there, for example, if you have for salmonellosis, a provider reporter type, you might tie that with the salmonellosis diagnosis or active problem criteria and saying this is sufficient. So in other words, if you receive a record and it contains a code that indicates salmonellosis as a diagnosis or active problem, that is considered sufficient for this jurisdiction to be considered reportable for salmonellosis. And if you want to take a look further at what is this criteria actually saying, you can do, click on the right buttons and you can see the definition of each of the criteria. So this particular one is for that salmonellosis diagnosis or active problem. Again, a closer shot of that. So it's essentially saying patient has a diagnosis of salmonellosis disorders or patient has a problem of the same and problem has a status of active. So it just gives you a little bit more refined and details related to each criteria. So you as a jurisdiction can actually go in and say, what is this, what am I saying, and why is it sufficient or why is it necessary or optional? And if you take a look at the different variables, so for example, salmonellosis disorders, you can see a little code there. It's actually tied to a value set that's associated with it. And each of those value sets, as Catherine mentioned, has a set of codes associated with it. And that is what the tool is looking for when the input file comes in, the EICR. It's looking for a code that matches one of those value sets. And then, of course, the criteria and the reporting specifications that are tied to it. So I'm going to talk about the second part of this, which is the decision support service. I mentioned this is the engine that's actually running the rules. And that's the yellow part here, where once the criteria and reporting specifications are authored, it's then deployed. And the decision support service uses something called OpenCDS, which is an open source, freely available software for clinical decision support. It uses a number of different standards, HL7 decision support service standard, VMR, CQL, and rules as executable. And the tool itself, RCKMS, actually supports that deployment of jurisdiction-specific reporting specifications. So as a jurisdiction, when you enter in your reporting specifications, you can make all the changes that you want, deploy it, and it will be available real-time when it's in production. It also, underneath, deploys all of the value sets, concepts, codes, mappings, all the things that are tied to that particular reporting specifications and criteria. When it gets deployed, there's an intermediate HL7 CQL expression that's used, which is XML-based, and that adds additional validation of the rules, and then the final executable representation is in rules. So now that we have all this stuff entered in and things are running, how do we determine reportability? So there's a number of different things that the system needs in order to figure out, you know, which jurisdiction is this record belong to or that it's relevant to. What's the reporter type? Who is the reporter and what is the logic set that has to be run? What are the reporting specifications that are available, of course? And then at the end, what's the condition that is reportable? And if you remember, the information that we're getting in is an electronic initial case report, the EICR, and that doesn't have that information in it, right? It's just simply a patient's record with codes for diagnostic data, lab, problem list, et cetera. So we have to actually derive that information or look at some mapping to figure out, you know, all of these different variables that I just talked about. So let's talk a little bit about jurisdiction. So first, when we receive the EICR, we have to actually figure out who is this jurisdiction, which jurisdictions are applicable. So primarily, we look at the address zip code, and I'll talk about which addresses in just a second. And we have a zip code to jurisdiction mapping that it would reference to say, we received this particular zip code, it's tied to this particular jurisdiction. If that's not available, for some reason the zip code's not available or that zip code to jurisdiction mapping is not available, then we would use the state code. In the future, we are actually implementing a GIS support so that we can actually use the patient's address or the provider address to further fine-tune that mapping. So we evaluate the patient report or address. Again, we use that mapping. And in this particular scenario, let's hypothetically say a patient lives in Idaho and goes to Utah for the weekend or for the week and gets ill and gets seen by a provider in Utah. So the first thing it has to actually do also is, we've identified that we have potentially the jurisdictions of Idaho and Utah that are relevant in this scenario. So with that, in addition, we have to figure out what type of reporter is this, right, when we receive the EICR. There's nothing in the EICR that says specifically this is a lab reporter or a provider reporter or a facility. So we actually look at the healthcare facility code and basically map that to either provider lab. There's a lot of variations of different facility codes that are available through HL7, so we simplify that and map that into a VMR, which is actually input file to OpenCDS. Further, something that actually affects the determination is the jurisdiction reporting preferences. So when a jurisdiction enters in their reporting specifications, they have to actually specify three things, right? Is this particular specification applicable when the care is provided in this jurisdiction, if the lab is located in this jurisdiction, or if patient is a resident of this jurisdiction? And it makes a difference. So here's a screenshot of the screen at the bottom here. If you can't see it in the back, there's a blow up. So in our scenario where the patient lives in Idaho and receives care in Utah, so let's just say, hypothetically, that Idaho's reporting preferences are specifications apply when care is provided in this jurisdiction, yes. Patient is a resident of this jurisdiction, no. So what it's really saying is that Idaho really wants to report if the care is provided in Idaho. So in this scenario where the patient lives in Idaho, receives care in Utah, the Idaho's reporting specifications do not apply. And alternatively, if Utah said they want care is provided, yes, patient is a resident, yes, then Utah's reporting specifications would apply. So that's how we kind of further filter the different variations. So once we figure that out, then you have the different options that are available for that particular, let's say, Utah's reporting specifications for salmonellosis. Then we run all of the different logic through and identify if any of these combinations are met for this particular reporter type. Again, in this particular EICR, let's say we receive a salmonellosis diagnosis for a provider reporter. And in the simulation, we have a test case manager which simulates the workflow. It actually would give you some information about actual reportable. Yes, the actual reportable condition is salmonellosis, and this is the criteria that was met. In the real world, it would actually output a decision saying these things in an XML file, which then gets passed up to the AIMS platform, then the reportability response, which was spoken about yesterday, and I think there's another workshop that will discuss that, gets sent back to the provider and then back over to the public health agency. And that's the end of the workflow.